The first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 22, which can be found on page 63 in the New Testament part of your Bibles. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to expect someone else?" When the men had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to expect someone else?'" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits, and had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, "Go tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, which is on page 11. "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent people take it by force." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite Ed up now. Ed is our first of two speakers this morning. Do come on up, Ed. Ed is a practitioner in God's justice, a teacher, and author as well. We'll look forward to him opening up God's word to us and us hearing how he's been living out God's justice in the world as well. Let's pray for Ed first. Lord God, we give thanks for bringing Ed to us this morning. We pray that we would be receptive to what he has to say to us. We ask this in your mighty name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, saints. And thank you very much, Roland, for that introduction. Can we pray together the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, just stop. The words come quite easily, don't they? I mean, I learnt those words when I was about this big, and I've been saying them for probably the past 70 years or so. In fact, the church has been praying that one for 2,000 years almost. But if we're brutally honest, we have to admit that one's not working. That prayer's not working. How can I say that? Because when I look at the news on the TV every night, all I see is a catalogue of unrighteousness and injustice. And if that's really what God's kingdom looks like on earth, just the way it is in heaven, then I'm not so sure that I'm that interested in where I might be going. You see, the kingdom of God looks like the character of God. It's the same values. What you'd expect to see in the character of God is exactly the same that you would expect to see lived out, demonstrated day by day in society in the kingdom of God. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, joy. I've said that twice. Never mind. You can never have too much joy. Compassion, truth, grace, righteousness, justice. And when we say justice, we're not talking just about criminal justice in our courts. We're talking about social justice. In Isaiah 58, verse 6, God says, "I want to loose the chains of injustice and free the oppressed. Oppression comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Addiction, disease, prejudice, poverty, slavery, certain aspects of culture, and injustice. See, when we become Christians, Jesus comes by his Spirit to live in our lives. Amen? Amen. And that relationship with him, that's the defining thing for a Christian. You're in a relationship with him. It's transformative. It changes us from the inside out, which is incredible. So that more and more we begin to grow with the character of Jesus. And so when I meet somebody and say, hello, Mark, I see Mark on the outside, but, I mean, hopefully, because he's a vicar, we want to see the character of Jesus shining out from Mark's life. Who do people meet when they meet you? There's this internal transformation going on as the kingdom, when we receive Jesus as king in our lives, as Lord, his kingdom has come. That's what Jesus says. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. The kingdom of God is within you. But what about outside? Is God interested in birthing his kingdom outside in the world, in society, as well as inside in me? Well, it's pretty obvious from the writings of Amos 5, Isaiah 58, Micah 6. You bet your bottom dollar, God wants to transform society out there as well as us in here. When John's disciples came to Jesus and said, are you the one? Now that has got a hidden meaning, the one. That was referring to the Messiah, the one who was going to come and bring the kingdom to Israel. Are you the one that we're expecting? The kingdom builder, bringer. Jesus didn't say, well, just look at my character. He said, look around you. See what's happening. The signs of the kingdom are visible. God wants to transform out there in society. But how and who is going to do it? The who is easy. That's the easy bit. I don't know whether it's good news or bad news, but it's you. It's me. The people of God have the responsibility of implementing the purposes of God. How? That's a little bit more tricky. Because we cannot change and transform out there into God's likeness with his values by sitting in here and shouting out the windows. It demands that the people of God go out and engage with society. We need to go out there and demonstrate the life of Jesus, his love, his joy, his peace, his goodness, his kindness, his justice and righteousness. To demonstrate all those things, live them out. Now, I've got an example to show you. I've been working together in partnership with a Sheffield-based charitable foundation. I've been working in northeastern Uganda. It's a hard place to work. The culture is utterly pagan. But we had a doorway opening to us because of a famine in Uganda. And people were dying like flies, to be honest. Can we go ahead, please, Brian, with some pictures? We're going to Kabong, which is right in the top northeastern corner. That's where we're heading. Next one, please. This is a picture I took a couple of years ago. This was a river, but the drought just dried up everywhere and food was just not available. There was no food. Next one, please. This was a gentleman, and you can clearly see the results of famine. People were bringing their sick to the hospital, laying them on the hospital steps. They were being taken inside. And the difference was that people were dying from starvation in the hospital beds instead of at home with their families, because the hospital had no food. I have a friend, he's a retired bishop in Uganda. He heard about this, recruited a team from Youth for the Mission to go in and live in this area. And through the generosity and the grace of God, the Gavin's Foundation funded a hospital feeding program. And beyond that, they've now funded a farm in which we are growing food with which to feed the hospital. Say just a little bit more about that foundation later on. But next one, please. This is the women's ward in the hospital, but this is after we actually started the feeding program. This was before they had electricity. They have electricity now. Previously, they were doing operations by a torch, someone holding a torch over the body. Let's have a report, I think a video report. Can we put the video on, please? Thanks, Brian. This may be a little difficult to understand, but you'll get the gist of it just by looking at the pictures. And this is Bishop Sam.
Leader for Youth for the Mission, Kabong. Why am Kabong? It's a voluntary Christian organization serving in the district of Kabong, Karamoja. Its mission is to raise an enlightened, transformed community for better livelihoods by equipping the local communities spiritually to change their mindset and to empower them in matters pertaining their physical needs. Some of the key activities of YWAM Kabong in the past years, in partnership with the Gavin Foundation, include the wiring of Kabong General Hospital, the provision of water to Kabong General Hospital, the feeding of all the patients in the wards in Kabong General Hospital, the buying of the land for the base activities, the drilling of the water for the base and solar powering it, the building of the staff and training house in the base. The involvement of the Gavin Foundation with YWAM Kabong has impacted the community services positively. The services in the hospital have improved. The dark wards are now lighted. The operation of patients has been made easy because of the light. Computers are now easily used in the hospital. Hygiene in the hospital has improved as the wards are cleaned and washed. The attendance of the patients in the hospital has risen up because of the provision of food in the hospital. Many of the people are getting saved, both the patients, the caretakers, and also the staff in the hospital. My hope for this partnership with the Gavin Foundation is to continue until we see a transformation of the communities that are vulnerable come to a level where they have a better living.
Thanks, bro. Thank you. So what you've seen has been a focus particularly on working with the hospital, providing all of those assets, the water, the electricity, the food, and so on. But doing that has won us such incredible favour with the community. And so the community has begun to change as well. And so what part of the culture was the AK-47 culture. Everybody had AK-47s, and to leave them, you just go and shoot somebody and take what they got. That stopped. Hijacking and kidnapping has stopped, which was just normal, a way of life. Parents are saying, we want education for our children, which has not been available up till now. So many things have begun to change. People are saying, we want Jesus. We want this new way of life. Church attendance is growing. And we're seeing change in society and in the values of their culture because of a demonstration of the kingdom in reality. Now, that's great for Uganda. What about Sheffield? God wants to see his kingdom burst on the streets of your city. And it's up, well, up to us. It's up to you, sorry. Up to you to make this happen. Engaging with society out there. Demonstrating God's love, God's compassion, God's hope, his truth, his righteousness and justice. Which, let's face it, that's pretty attractive. Sadness is you don't see that on the news very often. Now, the Gavin's Foundation actually, apart from working in Africa, does a lot with projects here in the city to reach out to the communities in your city. And you lot, you have experience. You have skills. You have availability and opportunity. You have resources. Please, use them. Use them to change Sheffield, to transform your communities. You have a healthy missions program here. I can see at the back of the church in the West End. But there are also opportunities that are just open and available and vacant to join in with the Gavin's Foundation, for example. We're very happy this morning to have Matthew and Catherine Gavin's here with us in church this morning. Would you mind just standing up so we know who you are? Go on, don't be shy. Thank you. Well, the only reason I'm saying that is, thank you very much, you can sit down. The only reason I'm saying that is that if you want to link in and volunteer with the foundation to change your community, if you want to do that, please grab Matthew or Catherine after the service. Please do. And finally, Roland mentioned a book. Have we got the last picture, please? Yeah, there's a book there, God Wants His Kingdom Back. It's available down the back of the church in the West End. There's a notice there which says, if you haven't any money, you're welcome to take one with blessing. But please try and put into practice some of the things that it says. May God bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you as you step out to transform Sheffield into the likeness of Jesus. Amen. And thank you very much.
Amen. Let's stand and worship again, and then I'll invite Charmaine up. And then I'll let you talk to everyone.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for welcoming me today. It's such a pleasure and an honor to join you. So my name is Charmaine, and as Roland has mentioned, I am from International Justice Mission. And for those that might not be familiar with International Justice Mission, we are one of the largest anti-slavery movement organizations in the world. And we are dedicated to protecting people in poverty from violence such as sex trafficking and forced labor and slavery. And one of the things about International Justice Mission that is unique is that we are a movement of individuals that have been inspired by God's heart for justice. And actually, it started 25 years ago when Gary, our founder, who was a human rights lawyer at the time, was moved by finding out about a story about a young girl who had been trafficked in the Philippines. And he decided to take on this case to pursue justice for this little girl. And for over 25 years now, the movement has grown, and we are a team of lawyers, social workers, and champions just like you who are working all around the world to see justice for people that are in to see people protected from violence and modern day slavery today. And for some of you, you might I just wanted to bring up a stat that might be quite sobering, actually, that today over 50 million people are still trapped in slavery. And one in four are actually children. And we have a slide, if you go up to slide number two, please. And with our work at IJM, we focus our work on advocating and bringing justice, especially for women, children, and men. And we focus on three main types of casework. We focus on modern-day slavery. We also focus on bringing justice for women and children that are in all kinds of abuse and violence across the world, including domestic abuse as well. And then we also work, as the stats shows on the screen, that globally about 33% of youth experience the abuse of police power. So we work in areas like Kenya to bring justice to those that are victims of police abuse of power. And one of the things, it was really beautiful to hear this call to awaken to our call, our godly call to justice. And across the globe, we've been working now for over 25 years to see justice. And in some of the areas that we've worked, we've seen a reduction of over 86% in some of the areas that we've worked to see the reduction of violence and slavery. And I just want to share that hope today, because as you hear some of this stats and some of the stories that I'm sharing, it might look like a big problem. I don't know about you, when I first saw the 50 million stat, it felt so big, and I asked myself, what can I do in it? But I want to share with you today that there is hope, and that we are seeing change starting to happen. We're seeing light beginning to come in areas of great darkness. And today I want to share with you a story from one of our areas of casework. And so just for a moment, imagine with me, how many of us in this room have ever received a scam call or an annoying text message that's telling you got a parcel that you need to collect when you haven't ordered anything? Just show of hands if you have. Right. Almost every single one of us in this room have actually experienced one of these forms. But did you know that maybe that call, that text message, or that email, that the person behind that phone call might actually be a victim of violence themselves? I didn't realize this until I joined IJM in January. That was the first time I realized that actually some of the people behind these annoying and actually sometimes quite devastating scam calls might actually be victims of violence themselves. And I want to share a story with you today. And I want to share a story of John Ho. This is a Thai man who lost his job during COVID-19 pandemic. Desperate for work, he came across an ad on social media for a role in customer service. It looked perfect, and his employees even paid for his flights to Cambodia. But when he arrived to his new office, John Ho was locked up in a large compound surrounded by barbed wire with thousands of other people. John Ho was trained to force people into romantic online scams. building fake romantic relationships with people online and then convincing them to invest into fake crypto platforms. He, along with thousands of other victims, had daily targets working late into the night until they were met. They had their pays deducted if they were caught yawning, and if they complained or refused to work or tried to reach out for help, they were beaten. And these are the words of John Ho himself that he said to us. If I didn't hit the targets, I knew the boss would beat me. I thought I might die because I didn't want to scam any innocent people. If a worker was deemed not valuable enough or too much trouble, they would be trafficked to a different compound. John Ho heard this cycle would repeat until the worker was trafficked on the black market for their organs or even killed. I was shocked, he said, and scared. The boss punished people in front of us. They were using electric buttons to shock them until they fell down. Dangerous as it was to attempt to escape, but it seemed like the only way out. John Ho told us about one guy who jumped out from the fifth floor of this compound and even broke his leg. He got up and he escaped. That's how desperate he was to try and get out of this situation. John Ho attempted to reach out to a charity for help, but his supervisors found out. He was trafficked to another compound and prevented from even going outside. The traffickers told him if he wanted to leave, he would have to pay them $11,000. And however desperate, John Ho managed to reach out to IJM on social media. IJM in turn reached out to the Cambodian police and intervened. They finally brought John Ho to safety. And this is what he said to us when he was brought to safety. I'm really thankful for IJM team who helped me. If not, I might still be stuck there. Today, John Ho is back home with his family in Thailand and has found an online customer service job, and he's using his voice to bring global attention to issues of false scamming and is working with IJM to bring about justice reform. And this is what he said. He says, I need to speak out because I need to let the world know that this kind of thing happens. This kind of darkness happens every day. We've listened to John Ho, and as an organization, through prayer, through advocacy, and through our work with our partners around the world, we're working day and night to bring attention and to bring light into this darkness. And false scamming, I don't know about you, since about last year, it was quite an unknown kind of criminal entity around the world. But actually, in February this year, we're starting to see change starting to happen. I don't know about you, if you guys, and if any of you saw the articles on the news of over 200 people that were rescued in Myanmar. And IJM worked with partners to bring those people to safety. And month by month, we're hearing reports of this compounds beginning to get close. And we can't do this work without partners like you, without our social workers, without our champions, without everyday people like you praying and giving and partnering up with the work of IJM to see people come to safety. And so today I want to share with you just another stat. So IJM, in our 25 years, we've seen over 99,000 people brought to safety from trafficking and violence. That comes up to about one person every hour. And we're working, and our vision and our goal is that over the next couple of years, we want to see actually not only people brought to safety, so not going and not only just going out and rescuing individuals, but we want to see entire communities protected from ever experiencing violence in the first place. And our goal and our vision is to see 500 million people protected across the world from all forms of from different forms of injustices and violence. And the way that we do this is through our theory of change. So if you can go to slide 6 for me. We're working with with partners all across the globe, including the police, governments, champions, churches. So we can't do this work without churches like you are praying, and even in some of our jurisdictions across the world, they actually work to bring some of the trauma-informed care that we bring to our victims as well. So our theory of change is that we work to rescue the individuals. So working to bring them to safety, and then we work to restore victims through trauma-informed care, so that they, we can work to them to rebuild their lives again and to build a life of hope, just like we heard from John Ho, who is now back with his family and is now working as part of our Survivors Network, Survivor Leaders Network. And then we also work to bring criminals to justice. Because what we found as we work across the globe is that when you bring perpetrators of injustice to justice and justice systems are strengthened, what we find is that it deters other people from committing the same crimes. So we're continuing to do that. And then we're also doing the work of strengthening justice systems across the globe. And so this morning, as we think and as we ponder on what it means to have God's justice in our world, I want to invite you to maybe think and ponder, maybe you're passionate about other forms of justice. Our heart at IJM is to awaken all of us to just the work of justice across across this nation, in our communities, but also across the globe. So whether you want to partner with us, you can either partner with us through by signing up to be a prayer partner, or you can sign up to be one of our freedom partners by giving monthly gifts from as little as £10. You can help fund rescue missions for some of the victims, for the millions that are still in slavery today. But I want to encourage you, as we ponder today and as we pray and as we imagine what it looks like for us to go out and to be a light, is I think, like you rightfully said, that, you know, what do you have in your hands? You have your skills, your time. Think about how God can use what you have in your hands to bring justice and to see justice in our world today. And I'll be at the back after the service, and if you want to find out more, I would love to speak to you. So yeah, thank you so much. God bless you.